We move on to item G2, which is a report on the 2020-2021 school year draft opening plan, which is basically a revisit of the information that was presented in the forum last Thursday.
Correct. Thank you, President Tarantino. So we are going to repeat the presentation we did last week at the town hall. Just another opportunity for more viewers to listen. We did have, I think, close to a little over 1,200 viewers at the town hall, and we had 1,700 RSVPs. And so tonight's just another opportunity to share with the board and the community this presentation. So, can we go? So we're going to go through the same slides we did at the town hall. And just to reiterate that the purpose is really, again today, is to really share the work plans developed to date by the over 100 staff, including teachers, counselors, classified staff, and administrators, and family and student members who have really spent the time researching and discussing and developing their best ideas to prepare all of us for the upcoming new school year under COVID-19 conditions. Right up front, like I said in my message, we want to appreciate and give kudos to all of the various committee members who contributed what you're going to hear in this presentation tonight. They've done a lot of work, and a lot of thinking has gone into these considerations. The second purpose, and again tonight, it will be because the survey is still open on the district's website, is to get input from community members, from staff, from students, from families about the ideas, about the opening plans. And so, because it is a draft plan, we're still analyzing those 550 plus comments and seeing where we need to make some adjustments. Okay, so slide two, everybody knows our mission, which is, which is to ensure a safe, inclusive, collaborative culture that empowers each student to actively engage in a meaningful educational experience to pursue personal and academic success. And it's really important about the safe, and it's really important about the collaborative culture, and it's really important about empowering each student to actively engage in that meaningful education to pursue their personal and academic success. Of course, we want to thank the board for their ongoing support during this most unprecedented and challenging time. And slide four talks about our overall shared common purpose. This is what the goal and the common purpose that everyone had, all of the various work groups and subcommittees had when they began the work in early to mid-May. And that goal was, or is, to open the 2021 school year on August 3rd with detailed plans to address a variety of educational operational options, being that, you know, this far ahead, we don't know exactly what's we're going to be able to do on August 3rd, so we've created a number of options that we can go to at that point in time. Okay, slide five. So this is a really important slide because this slide shows the most important context about our district. As you've heard recently, the zip codes with the highest COVID-19 cases per population reside in our district. So what you see here on the slide are zip codes 92173 San Ysidro, 92154 South San Diego, 92050 National City, 91911 Chula Vista South, 91910 Chula Vista North, and 91932 Imperial Beach. This graph actually shows the number of positive cases in those zip codes per 10,000 residents, right? So for example, in San Ysidro, of those 10,000 residents, 1 in 65 had tested positive. In South San Diego, 1 in 101. In North and in National City, 1 in 119. And the average of North and South Chula Vista, it's 1 to 150. And in Imperial Beach, it's 1 to 200. As compared to some of the other parts of the county, as you can see right here, like, for example, Scripps Ranch, where the average is 1 to 1,498. That is a really important slide because of the context of our community. Number six. The teams also followed these guiding principles as they brainstormed ideas. And we know that educating students is our primary purpose and reason we exist. But as we plan and navigate our way through COVID-19, health and safety is our number one priority. And so flexibility is next. Since the guidelines are changing and evolving almost daily, LCAP goals are the roadmap. And finally, seeing this as an opportunity to reinvent ourselves as educators. There are four work groups. Within each of the work groups, there were subcommittees, which is why we have close to 100 people participating. That will be explained throughout each of the presentation. I'm going to turn it over to Manny Rubio next, who's going to start with the first work group of family and community engagement.
Great, thank you very much. So the next piece that we're going to talk about is obviously the fact that we were even here in the sense of doing a forum. And doing it in this way really speaks to the fact that we, you know, reached out in terms of engagement. And I want to thank the committee that was working with us, folks from student services, folks from our state and federal programs. We had the presidents of both of our DPAC and DLAC committees. I think Mr. Collier actually joined us for a couple of meetings. So we want to thank everybody who was there. So our goal in terms of parent community engagement has been around, obviously, as it talks about engagement. How do we make sure that we're communicating the work that we're doing and then getting that feedback necessary? And so things like these forums, things like the open Google forum that's available, links to our website, links on our social media, you can find that information there. And then once we gather that information, how are we communicating that forward? Next slide. So here's some of the strategies that we're using. Obviously, surveys, forums, those are the things that are pretty common. But we really wanted to make sure that the committee was involved, and we wanted to make sure that those that were a part of this group were, you know, providing their input. And I'll jump across to something that we called the circles of collaboration, which means that all of us work within different groups of folks that we interact with on a regular basis, both in our work and in our personal lives. And these are folks that we want to make sure that we're engaging. And so our parent committee members, for example, talked about how there's a lot of information that we as a district are putting out there, but the true where information really is, you know, gathered is from other parents speaking to them and asking for clarification on different pieces. So we want to make sure that those circles of collaboration are active and engaged in all this process. And then finally, obviously, is a plan to communicate all of this work, and that's what we're going to be doing going forward. Finally, what I'll set forward and the three questions that we engaged are and talked about here are what kind of sets the tone for the rest of the presentation. And these are actually the questions that we've asked the public to answer for us. And those are the three questions around what are key questions and issues that need to be addressed. How do we ensure that communication and engagement continue to happen? And what are the other input that we want to provide to ensure that all voices are being heard? So we asked people at the forum on Thursday to look at, you know, with this as a framework throughout the rest of the presentation, and then submit some feedback. As I said, that link is on our social media sites as well as on our district website, where you can provide some input for that going forward. So I think Dr. Fulcher will be next, and he'll continue the presentation.
All right, thanks, Manny. And good evening again, and I thank all of you for joining us. I trust that all are safe and doing well. And like I said before, we eagerly anticipate the return of our students, but we know we can't do that. We can't welcome them back into our sites unless we can do so with safety considerations in mind. And with that said, our work, the work of the Health and Safety Committee, began with two goals in mind. The first was that our physical school environment has to embody public health guidelines. We want to prevent, to the extent we can, another outbreak from occurring, as well as any additional school and district closures from taking place. The second piece, and this is just as important, we know that our plan has to produce enough confidence in our families, students, and staff that they're ready to return to either a face-to-face or in-person environment, or any other noted instructional variation that we'll talk about a little bit tonight. Next slide, please. So we focused on the following essential components, and we'll briefly address each of those over the next few minutes. And keep in mind, however, this is going to be a pretty high-level perspective and summary, and we'll talk about some of the details as the plan continues to evolve. Next slide, please. All right, we are very mindful of the various incidents of the virus outbreak and the virus incidents in our community. And so we'll use all the available data to inform our decisions. We won't, however, and we can't, compromise student and staff health. So we're going to touch on all four of these items on the next few slides. The next slide provide some additional information on the local conditions that we'll be considering. You can see on the far left part of the slide, there has to be a lifting of the stay home orders, and many of those have been relaxed, as you have seen, obviously, on the news and other places by seeing what's happening at the beaches in downtown San Diego. And the outbreak, of course, the news about outbreaks have we've